Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with wonderful guests who are experts on today's topic. Looking forward to the year 2020, owners and managers in multifamily must face the challenges of operations and dealing with new and constantly changing technology. Recently, a new and very revealing white paper was published that investigates this subject, and it is entitled 20 for 20, 20 conversations with senior multifamily executives about the outlook for the year 2020 and beyond. Today, we're going to take a deep dive into this white paper with its two authors. Joining us by phone is Donald Davidoff, founder of D2 Demand Solutions, and in the studio is Dom Beveridge, a principal with D2 Demand Solutions. Welcome, guys. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Paul.
So, Donald, full disclosure to our listeners, you've been on our show before. We were talking about pricing and revenue management on that show. When this white paper was published, I was lucky enough to be sent a copy of it from Dom. And it's really interesting. What was the reasoning, the thought process behind having these 20 conversations with 20 key multifamily executives to get this information?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, a little bit selfishly, we wanted to understand where the industry's at. You know, we work on a number of impactful projects with C-suite executives, and it's useful to us, and we thought it would be very useful to the industry to really see the forest from the trees. You know, we work in the technology space a lot, and in general technology, there are companies like Gartner and Forrester that invest a lot of money in research and provide clear guidance to industry on where things are and where they're going. And there's kind of a dearth of that in multifamily. So, you know, we decided to experiment with this and take it on. And starting at the NMHC Technology or Ops Tech conference last November, between November and December, we had, as the title says, 20 conversations with senior operators and senior technology folks. So usually the COO or the CIO, or at least whoever was the head of operations or the head of technology. We went in, certainly we have certain expectations, but we made sure to keep it just a straight set of interviews, a conversation, not unlike the one we're going to have here, where we asked a set of questions and listened to the answers, and then did the cluster analysis afterwards to find out what themes were emerging. But it's just kind of our insatiable curiosity that motivated us more than anything else.
And Dom, how did you choose the people you wanted to have these interviews with, but what types of people were they as far as, were they all in conventional? Were they in affordable, conventional, student? How did you work that out?
Yeah, good question. So generally, we decided we wanted a split of half technologists, half senior operators. And in terms of the companies that we picked, we really wanted to have a representation of fee managers, of owner-operators, and of public REITs. Those were really the broad categories that we went for. We didn't pursue affordable, like specialist affordable providers, mm-hmm. although plenty of the companies that we spoke with have fairly extensive affordable parts of their portfolio that's affordable. But we were really trying to get a mix of because we know the motivation of the kind of projects that people do, the kind of technologies people gravitate towards, change based on what kind of an operator you are and what the objectives of your company are. So we just wanted to have a good mix of those, and we think we did a pretty good job of achieving that.
Yeah, and Donald, I'm going to save to a later segment maybe some of the things that surprised you that you learned from this, but. What were some of the things that were confirmed that you felt pretty strongly you knew ahead of time?
Wow, that's a really good question. you know, we had a sense that something was happening in the industry that felt a little different than the prior years. So I would say, I mean, I don't know if it was a confirmation per se, but we were able, listening to these 20 conversations and reviewing everything everybody said, to kind of put a label on it, to be able to understand what this sensation was we had coming in. And that was that multifamily is at a technology tipping point right now, the likes of which we hadn't seen for over 15 years. And it was particularly interesting discussing this with Dom, because Dom was the principal investigator on this study, and then I supported him. But I was around back in 99, 2000, you know, the start of pricing and revenue management in the industry. So I went through that last tipping point, that sort of 97, 98 through about 2003 or four, where probably started with automated credit screening. Then you had web-based property management and automated pricing and revenue management. And then you had all the resident portals and prospect portals that came to the latter stage of that. But from about 2004 on, you know, technology and business process change there weren't really any home runs. It's no offense to any of the vendors or companies that started then, but they were mostly base hits, not the home runs like property-based web systems or property management systems and, you know, pricing and revenue management, instantaneous credit screening. So the fact is now that we feel like there really is a tipping point that is going to, if not be the same size as what happened last year or last time, it'll be darn close to it. And, you know, we can talk more through the other questions around some of those specifics.
Okay. And we got a few minutes left in the segment. Dom, tell me a little bit about what you think that, just if you can sum it up in just a few sentences, what the tipping point is. What is it that everybody is kind of ready to see happen?
Yeah, well, I mean, as Donald suggested there, if we think about what happened since that last big inflection point, and by the way, if anyone's curious about this, we just published a blog, I think, today on our website, where we actually got Dan Amedro, the former CIO of Archstone, to write about just this. There was this definite movement over the years that Donald suggested, where you got sort of transformative change, like technologies came along that really changed some fundamental things about the way you interact with your customers, the way you run your properties, and so on. And ever since then, if we think about the period from about 2004, 2005 up to now, there's been tons of interesting stuff going on, but it's all had a slightly sort of incremental nature to it. The pace of technological innovation has been quite incremental. The things that people are looking at right now, to varying degrees, you've got this confluence of smart home technology, right? So Internet of Things really has the potential to change the way you operate a multifamily building, for example.
Right.
And it also changes the experience that a customer can have living in one of your units, right? So we're in very, very early innings with those technologies, but there's a great deal of attention being expended on that, and lots of companies are starting to try out some really interesting things there. So you've got smart home on the one hand. You've got artificial intelligence. Now, that's an area that can really revolutionize a lot of different areas in multifamily. If I think about you know, processes like, I mean, obviously there's the back office repetitive like processing kind of work that looks like a prime candidate for, you know, for robotic process automation. But then you've got things like leasing, where as we'll talk about it later as we drill down into the individual findings. You've got an area like leasing where deep learning algorithms can start to do a lot of the activities that we normally associate with leasing professionals. Hugely interesting ramifications for the way that we run operations and the way that we sell our product there. So AI is again early stage technology that has the potential to revolutionize. Another area we think the industry should be more aggressive about is the area of self-guided tours. Like if we think of self-serve as a massive mega trend across all industries, that's an area that we see multifamily companies would benefit from being more aggressive with that. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And then one other area, and for me, having a background in the travel sector, the whole area of short-term rentals, mm-hmm. and the way that those the business models are shaking out in that market is hugely interesting. I mean, the involvement of Expedia now, to the extent that they're involved in multifamily, is a hugely interesting development in the industry. And you know, when you look at that from the perspective of having a different route to market for your product, being able to bring a completely new segment into a multifamily building, as revenue management geeks, people like Donald and I are very interested in the potential that that new demand stream can bring to the industry, and the technologies that supports it.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think one word I wanted to highlight on was, Dom said earlier, a confluence of things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think back to the tipping point in the late 90s, early aughts, the internet brought the confluence of getting data more accessible through property, through internet-based or web-based property management systems, which that access to data made it easier to create the predictive analytics for pricing and revenue management and to serve as a hub of data flow for those prospect and resident portals. Right. Okay. Now the confluence of faster processing, AI, you know, the whole move towards self-service and network-based activities, you know, the Ubers of the world, et cetera, all of a sudden, you know, the smart home tech, the short-term rentals, the AI, they all combine in ways to create a new platform capability. So I think that word confluence and how the different things interplay with each other is really key.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got to take a break. We are going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of 20 for 20, 20 conversations with senior multifamily executives about the outlook for 2020 and beyond. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is Donald Davidoff, founder of D2 Demand Solutions, and in the studio with me is Dom Beveridge, a principal with D2 Demand Solutions. Before we jump back in the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners that if you would like to provide show topic and guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Dom, this is a fascinating white paper. I certainly would recommend that anybody in the multifamily industry get their hands on it and look at the information, take their time going through it and absorb it. If somebody wanted to get a copy of it, how could they do that?
Yeah, sure. If they visit our website, which is d2demand.com, so that's d2demand as one word .com, you can go download a copy. We've distributed it for free, so you'll find many places on the website where you can just download your copy, and we recommend as many people do so as possible.
Okay, I do want to let our listeners know that if they go to our website at multifamilyradio.com and they click on this episode, there will be a link to click to your website as well. So the white paper, all the investigation you did, you came up with five findings that weren't all the conclusions, but five basic findings that you found from these 20 conversations you had with executives in the multifamily industry. What are those five findings?
Yeah, and as you mentioned, there's lots of other things besides those five findings. But the things that really stood out for us were, number one, during 2018, a surprising number of people focused their energies on one big project. That was something we didn't expect to find at all. Number two, we found this disconnect between the technologies that everybody's talking about and the technologies that are really top priority to the people that we spoke to. Number three, on the people front, we found that there is no bigger priority in training and development than sales or leasing in 2019. Business intelligence, we had an interesting observation about, which is really the way that the industry is adopting it. It's now conforming to a very regular pattern that we'll elaborate on in a few moments. And then finally, pricing and revenue management, which turned 18 this year. February 2019 was the 20th anniversary of the first ever implementation of revenue management at a multifamily property. At 18, we're worried that PRM has fallen off the senior management radar, and we can talk more about that in a few moments.
So let's just take the first couple of those findings. Why don't we go into a little bit more detail on what you found and what that means to someone in multifamily?
Sure. Okay, so having talked, as we did, about the confluence of these exciting technologies and this tipping point that we really feel the industry finds itself at right now, when we look at 2018, we were very surprised at the number of companies that had bitten off a project in a more conventional technology that was big enough that it took all resource and attention away from everything except business as usual for those companies. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the opposite of what you'd expect to find if we're really paying attention to what's new and exciting in the industry. I'll give you a little bit of color on that. Yeah, so first of all, we're talking about half of the people, so 10 out of 20 of the executives, which is a lot. Of those 10, seven of the projects were PMS, either upgrades or platform changes. So a few companies had done a major upgrade, the like of which is kind of similar to a PMS switch. Most of them had actually changed their platform altogether. Now, that interested us because if you think about PMS technologies, we don't change our PMS once every 3 years, right? So the idea that fully a third of the people that we spoke to had done a project like that was interesting to us. Our initial reaction was, oh, is this to do with the Yardi Entrada issue? And when we looked at the results, none of those changes was motivated by that. So that was a very sort of interesting observation. And if I look at the other technology projects that we saw, you know, there were a couple of really big design and build projects. There was a big ERP project. All of these had a similar effect on the way resources had been allocated during 2018. It was generally our feeling that it looks like 2018, after all these years of growth in multifamily, just for lots of companies, was the year where they decided to bite off something big, something foundational that they could expect to pay off for years to come. Now, the interesting, you know, corollary of that is that if you've done this foundational work in 2018, you should have created a tailwind for more radical innovation for the next few years. So that now becomes an interesting a factor that we will certainly be observing closely. Donald, you've been closer to stuff like this before. Is there anything else you'd add to that?
No, thanks. I think you covered everything quite well. Again, that last, I would just reemphasize that key point that, you know, having made those foundational changes, there's not a direct ROI, you know, from changing a PMS or implementing a large ERP project. However, if you leverage that platform in the future to more easily and quickly add, you know, customer-facing and associate-facing things that do have an ROI, you know, that's the reason for doing it. So we'll be watching carefully over the next 3 to 5 years to see how people leverage it.
Okay. And the next one?
Yeah, well, so the next one was, you know, still in the arena of technology. If we... if we think about that observation that we just made about the dominance of these big technology projects, the same is kind of true of the priorities. A lot of the questions that we asked were, you know, we asked people to tell us what their biggest technology accomplishments were in 2018. We asked them to tell us what their biggest priorities were for the short and medium term. And in all cases, what we found was the priorities were kind of dominated by these rather more conventional technologies. So to give you a couple of examples, and Donald mentioned earlier, we started these interviews at Optech last fall, right? So people were mostly surrounded by plenty of stimulus about what's new and exciting in technology. That's what they go to that show for. But still, when you ask them these questions about their priorities, for example, out of 20 people, only two of the technology interviewees talked about smart home as being a top priority for them, or a top project that they had done in the last 12 months. Only one substantive AI project came to light during the course of that discussion. Now, that's not to say that people aren't focusing on those technologies. It's just to say they haven't filtered through to the top of people's lists of priorities right now. Another one, we talked earlier about short-term rentals being a hugely exciting technology. Nobody mentioned that at all when we asked them about their top priorities, either operationally or in technology. So again, while this is getting a lot of mind share in the industry, it's not perhaps the top of mind priority from a technology perspective. Donald, given your proximity at the moment to the single family world, the final thing I was going to mention was self-guided tours. Perhaps you'd like to give a bit of color on that one.
Yeah, it was fascinating. We actually introduced a conversation around the notion of cell show. So in the single family world, they've gotten into cell showing out of necessity. I have one client, for example, who prior to cell show was only touching 65% of the leads they had because of the geographic distance to show homes. They literally only showed 2/3 of the leads. They ignored the other third. When they implemented cell show, they now touch 100% of the leads. And interestingly, the closing rate did not change. So in some respects, no offense to our leasing associates, but a lot of people don't really want to be bothered by a human. They want to self-serve. They want to do things on their own. And in fact, react just as well to a cell show as to a person guide show. When we brought this up, we got a lot of whataboutisms. My favorite was, well, what about the liability if somebody has a trip and fall while they're self-showing? And my response was, well, what if they trip and fall in a guided tour? It was just very interesting how reticent multifamily is to seriously think about trying self-showing, even though it's a proven technology now in the single-family space. You know, people worried about theft. Like, when you have employees on the premises, right? Self-showing in single family, they don't even have an employee within miles, mm-hmm. and it's working quite well. One perceptive individual, when we brought this up, said, it'll probably be the recession. When the recession hits, then as people look for ways to become more efficient, that'll probably motivate them over their fears. But again, it is interesting to me, the dichotomy, almost the irony, that what will be the result of this tipping point and what is getting the vast majority of the buzz share at events like Optech have not yet hit the top 1, 2, 3 things on a CLO's or CIO's radar. They're piloting, they're experimenting, they're looking into. Again, this feels very much like that 1999, 2000, 2001, the early part of the last tipping point where, you know, people were very reticent about automatic credit checking. You know, not actually calling prior employees until the company proved it worked. And within a few years, it became de rigueur. Same thing with pricing, same thing with web-based property management systems. So this industry tends to move on technology like you're pushing against Jell-O, pushing against Jell-O, pushing against Jell-O. You feel like you haven't made any progress. And then all of a sudden, something happens. There's just enough innovative people doing something that the rest of the industry isn't scared anymore, and then it moves hyper fast. That's usually how technology and innovation works in this industry. Again, Dom mentioned earlier the blog we just released, and there's a sidebar in the white paper by Dan Amedro, the former CIO at Archstone. Archstone was one of the leaders in the last technology inflection point, and he speaks about how that felt then and therefore what lessons can be applied to today. In fact, we asked him to write the white paper, to write the sidebar, and he said to me, well, I've been out of the business for several years now. What possibly could I have to say that's of use to people? I don't know the new technologies. And I pointed out to Dan, that's actually why we want you to write it. We want that sidebar, not about today's technologies, but what are the lessons, having gone through, having seen the whole movie, first seen to epilogue, right? What does a technology adoption cycle look like and feel like? And what are the lessons that can be applied to today's technologies, whatever they are?
Well, this is fascinating. And what we were just talking about, I think, is the industry being afraid of change. And I want to talk about that when we get back with our third segment. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rossa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rossa Floors are the industry experts, offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rossa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rossafloors.com.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters. We're discussing the topic of 20 for 20, 20 conversations with senior multifamily executives about the outlook for the year 2020 and beyond. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is Donald Davidoff, founder of D2 Demand Solutions, and in the studio is Dom Beveridge, a principal with D2 Demand Solutions. And these are the two gentlemen who wrote a fascinating white paper about this topic that we're discussing. But I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. E-Conserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rossa Floors, the professional flooring advisor specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management, and Ted W. Allen and Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. Guys, I wanted to remind our listeners that if they want to go to your website, and you'll give them that website address in our next segment again, they will be able to get a copy of this white paper, and they can go to our website at multifamilyradio.com and click on this episode, and there will be a link to your website as well, because I do recommend that to anybody in the multifamily industries and on the management side or ownership side to read this white paper and really absorb the information that's in there. It's very, very revealing, and it's fascinating. We were talking before the break about change, the fear of change, and on this show we've had several people from an ownership and management standpoint that have told me and told our audience when it comes to technology that one of the concerns or the fears that they have is the fact that what they buy today may be obsolete tomorrow when it comes to technology. Of course, most people have seen that, you know, firsthand through cell phones. Donald, what do you think about that, and what have you found?
Yeah, I think, Paul, it's a very natural feeling, and I certainly understand it. And I think it's actually one of the reasons that smart home tech, of all the new ideas we were talking about, was probably the first to come along and likely the least advanced already because being hardware-based, it is very scary, the notion of, you know, choosing Betamax and ending up in the VHS world.
Right.
So I totally get that. I would have a couple of responses. The first is don't necessarily go all in, but don't let it stop you from getting started. So on the smart home tech, a perfect example is the conversation we were having earlier around cell showing, right? I could implement just a smart door connected with the self-showing workflow, and I can get immediate value. You know, when it comes to self-showing, I think of my days back in operations where in Boston in the winter, we had to stop touring at 4:30 in the afternoon because it was too dangerous to have leasing associates touring when it was dark. So I could get immediate value out of that. And even if 3 years from now, I have to change something out because of, you know, technology change, I still got a return. And if I get 7 or more years out of it, then it's a home run. So where can you do incremental things to get immediate benefit would be one way to mitigate that risk. The other is, candidly, just accept the risk. Just get over it. I mentioned earlier Dan Amedro's advice from having gone through the last tipping point. And one of the things that he and I talked about and he mentions in that sidebar, is in retrospect, they were very afraid of the same thing going forward. And yet, if you look at it today, every single vendor they chose has been bought, if not once, at least twice.
Right.
So, you know, they chose web-based property management with MRI, bought by Intuit, then bought by Vista, and then by, I forget who owns it now, revenue management, they went with LRO. Bought by, actually we got it from one company who abandoned it. We took it over, sold it to Rainmaker. Rainmaker sold to RealPage. So the reality is, yeah, it's going to happen. Things are going to be obsolete. Vendors are going to change, et cetera. Just, you know, stay modular and stay nimble because you're not going to prevent it from happening. And if you let that stop you from innovating, you're going to end up behind your competitors.
Okay, great, great. Dom, you've got about 5.5 minutes to answer to discuss the next three findings that you had in there. I know one of them is something that's just minor in the big scheme of things. Let's run through those real quick.
Well, actually, let's save the people development finding until the end when we go through our findings. There's two that kind of go together, and those are the way that the industry is adopting business intelligence, or BI, and also the current state of pricing and revenue management. And I'll go through both of them fairly quickly now, and hopefully we'll have time for a bit of Q&A on that. But if we look at business intelligence, of all the people we spoke to, several of them had done BI projects during the course of 2018. Nothing particularly interesting about that. Other than that, from speaking to these executives about their approach to BI and the progress of projects, we really got this impression that we could have asked this question at any point in the last decade and got exactly the same answer. Right, mm-hmm. Everyone, you know, a few more people do it every year, and it keeps sort of plodding along. What's interesting about that is that it's really different from all of the other multifamily enterprise technologies. I think Donald mentioned it earlier. What tends to happen in this industry is you'll get a vanguard of kind of innovative companies that are really figuring out how to make this technology work. And as soon as they start being successful with it and achieving results, usually companies then just jump on the bandwagon. That's what usually happens with technology adoption in this particular industry. With BI, there's never been a big bang, right? There's never been that period where everybody did it. I mean, there's a few reasons for that. You know, the big REITs and actually unusually the big fee management platforms really develop their own BI capabilities, right? Are often building their own proprietary technologies in-house. It's you know, it becomes more and more a part of the secret sauce for a really big operating platform. And once you take some of those providers out of the market, that perhaps limits the opportunity for for smaller companies to create a good vendor ecosystem. Like, that's one reason for BI. But basically, it's a story of this kind of steady process that we've seen for years of adoption, which is different from other technologies. To talk about the PRM finding, you'll see in the white paper, we ask people a very open-ended question about the state of the art. It's like, what are you working on? What's the next big thing? Where do you think this technology is going next, and so on? There were two things that were particularly interesting about this. I mean, we write up lots of suggestions that people made, some of them quite incremental, some of them quite radical. But the thing that was most interesting to us was, first of all, every single technologist that we spoke to said, I haven't been close to PRM for years. Right now, that's interesting to us, because had you asked that question a decade ago, you definitely wouldn't have got that answer. Mm-hmm. It would have been somewhere close to the top priorities for most technology leaders. The other thing, though, is that overall, when we asked any of these questions, nobody had a preconceived answer to any of them. Right? Mm-hmm. It was very obvious people were having to think about, where could PRM go next, kind of thing. And all of that, when you put all of that together, it sort of tells us that this is not anywhere in the top priorities of either senior operators or senior technologists in the industry. Now, that should give us some pause, because for a couple of reasons. One, if you look at all of the other industries that have done well with revenue management, think about hospitality, airlines, etc., they never arrive at the destination in terms of revenue management. They're always working on some new thing, like some new way to tap unrealized upside. But the other thing is, of course, and this was an area that came up in several of the interviews, of course, you've had vendor consolidation in PRM, like the two biggest competitors are now under the same umbrella. You've got this risk that you've taken away one of the big drivers of competition, and if at the same time it's fallen off the senior management radar, it becomes a bit difficult to see where the next wave of innovation is coming from. And for it to keep doing as well as it's been doing, there needs to be greater innovation in that arena. This is a natural one for Donald, having been so instrumental in getting PRM going. Is there anything you'd add to that, Donald, in the next minute and a half?
Donald, yeah, you got about a minute and a half.
Yep, okay, no worries. I think the headline conclusion is that we seem to be surprisingly complacent about revenue management. I mean, I've literally had senior operators say, well, we're done. I don't understand the question. We have a revenue management software choice. We have a revenue management person or team. So we're done. And I think Dom points out really well that in hospitality or other like industries, there's no sense of being done. And I think we're at our own peril if we think that revenue management is just a box that's been checked. I think there are opportunities to continue to advance the art and get better NOI. And hopefully pointing this out will get people to think a little more deeply and maybe recognize that complacency in pricing of revenue management is a mistake.
Okay, great. Well, we are going to take a break. We're going to be back with our fourth and final segment of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of 20 for 20, 20 conversations with senior multifamily executives about the outlook for the year 2020 and beyond. I'm Paul Marks. Joining us by phone is Donald Davidoff, founder of D2 Demand Solutions. And in the studio is Don Beveridge, a principal with D2 Demand Solutions. They're the two gentlemen who put together a fascinating white paper with that title, and we are discussing that today. And I guess since we're in our last segment, I want to make sure to kind of wrap up the conversation. But again, I want to urge any of our listeners in the multifamily industry, get a copy of this white paper. It's free. It's not hard to get. Dom's going to tell you in a minute how you can get that and absorb the information. It's revealing, and it's very interesting about where the multifamily industry is going. Dom, let's kind of wrap up the findings of what this and recap very quickly what it took to put this white paper together, what you actually had to do.
Yeah, I mean, so to put the white paper together, we got with 20 different executives. So we did half of our interviews at Optech, and we did half of them afterwards. We really talked to each of them for about 30 minutes. It was really our objective to put together a study that was sort of rigorous enough, that was sort of consistent enough in the questions that we could draw some meaningful conclusions from it. We didn't want to create another viewpoint per se. We wanted to collect 20 viewpoints and figure out what it told us about the industry. So that's really where we took it, and we've come to a few interesting conclusions, most of which we didn't entirely expect to find.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So shall I go through?
Sure.
Okay. So if we go through our own conclusions on each of the findings that we made, this really forms our viewpoint on the study to wrap it up. And by the way, the place to go find it, go to d2demand.com. You'll find links throughout the site to the 20 for 20 white paper. Please go download it. It's free, and we want as many people to read it as possible. So starting off with the first thing, and keeping in mind our overarching theme that it is genuinely, I believe, having gone through all of these interviews, that the industry is at this technology tipping point. If we look at the first finding that we made, this fact that half of the people, surprisingly, had devoted all of their energies to one big project in 2018, our view on that is making 2018 the year of the big project is great, providing 2019 is the year of the big innovation. Like, we really expect that a great many companies in this industry have created this tailwind for more radical innovation, and we will certainly be following that closely over the next year and beyond.
Okay.
And so the second thing, we talked a little bit about self-show earlier. We are convinced that self-show is a question of when and not if. So our advice is, don't be a laggard on the technologies that support it. You don't have to go all in on smart homes to do it. You can keep a very minimal investment with respect to door locks and things like that. But if self-show is going to happen, the sooner you learn how to do it, as well as the single-family rental market is doing it, the more benefit you'll get. And the opportunities, particularly in northern climes where you shut down touring pretty early in the afternoon when it gets dark, there's just an obvious ROI to that.
Okay.
So the third finding that we didn't actually talk about in the previous segments, but let me just speak to it quickly here. On the people front, I mean, it won't surprise anyone to know that people thought that 2018 was a horrible year for recruitment and retention, and nobody expected 2019 to be any better. When we asked people about the training priorities for 2019, practically everybody, their biggest priority is sales or leasing. Everybody is either revamping, rethinking or redoubling their efforts on leasing programs. And we kind of see this in the same way that we see the one big project dynamic. It's, after a decade of growth in multifamily, it's been relatively easy to find residents, right? So sales, the sales muscle doesn't get the most aggressive workout during 10 years of plenty.
Right.
Doesn't surprise us at all to see that in 2019, everybody wants to focus on how they get better at converting leads, as well as even more so than lead generation per se. So not entirely surprising. In fact, quite heartening to us. It really feels to us like that's the right area for people to be focusing in 2019. And one sidebar on that, the most interesting view that we heard represented, it seems like the more people are thinking about the impact that technology is going to have on leasing, so things like self-guided tours, things like AI, the more they're thinking about sales in terms not simply of how do I train more people in my process, it's much more like what are the kind of skills that I'm going to need when the interaction between my prospects and my communities is different. When the only time someone's going to be reaching out to a property-based employee is when the technology can't solve their problem, when there's no or there's very little processing work involved in leasing roles, for example, that means we're going to need different profiles of people, different skill sets, and so on. And for me, the most forward-thinking people that we spoke to are already thinking about that problem when they frame sales.
Okay.
Yep. The fourth point of view we drew from this is around the conversation we had on business intelligence, on BI. And while there is a long, steady adoption of BI, we observed a lot of the BI is bought in a suboptimal manner. It's, thinking that, I have Tableau, therefore I have BI. Or I'm building something internally, but it's all about replicating reports. It's very report-driven, as opposed to truly dashboard and predictive analytic driven. So, we do believe that a huge part of the remaining benefit of BI lies in learning how to buy and how to implement the right way. A number of the people we talked to expressed, I wouldn't say true dissatisfaction, but they expressed a certain ennui about the success of the BI. So they've sort of been underwhelmed by the results, and we think that's because it's been too software and too report driven. And if we change the paradigm to the right way, they'll do much better. As a quick aside, in the resource center on our website, there's another white paper on how to lead an analytically driven company, which more fully explains our point of view of what the right way to implement and buy BI is.
Okay.
And the final thing is, we would say we are concerned with the that the industry is probably a little bit too content with the state of pricing and revenue management. I would characterize the prevailing view as PRM's doing fine, like PRM's delivering for us. It's not a top priority. And again, in an environment where we've had 10 years of growth, I can see how if I'm a senior operator or a senior technologist, going and finding ways to break PRM is definitely not something I would proactively be looking to do. But as we said earlier, PRM is just generally this sort of Sisyphean task for the companies that that do it. If there's not some top of mind innovation, if you're not really challenging yourself on the way that you're using your systems, etc., you're probably sub-optimizing, and that's a process the industry could do with arresting by, getting a little bit more senior management focus on this important area.
Okay. Well, look, this is so much to take in just four quick segments, and as I said, you have plenty of ways to be able to get copies of this white paper. I do want to give both Donald and Dom an opportunity to talk a little bit about D2, what they do, and how they help the multifamily industry. Donald, before you jump into it, you were a pioneer of the pricing and revenue management, that whole movement back those many years ago. And you know, they say pioneers are either on the leading edge or the bleeding edge. So where did you find yourself?
I think a little bit of both. The first few years were definitely bleeding edge, but I've been fortunate, really been blessed to hang around long enough to see it become de rigueur, at least for the NMHC Top 50 and much beyond. So, again, having seen the movie, you know, these tipping points move more slowly in our industry than maybe business writ large. But if you stick to it, the benefits are obvious and they do come in.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about D2.
Sure. Yeah. So D2 Demand Solutions, we are a six-person boutique consulting shop. We do high-impact C-suite consulting and projects on the demand management platform. So what do I mean by demand management platform? Obviously, pricing and revenue management. We also do sales performance improvement. We work on marketing projects, customer experience, and then business intelligence projects are really the data analytics that pull it all together. So, you know, I'm trained as an engineer. All of our team members are either systems-oriented people or pricing-oriented people. And so, you know, we definitely take the approach that you want to be able to measure everything. Even that which seems hard to measure, you know, can be measured. So across the entire demand management platform, there's a lot of data. We want to feed that back to then help improve strategy, process, organization, and technology.
All right. And Dom, tell everybody how they can, number one, get a copy of the white paper again, as well as if they want to talk to D2 about a project they've got coming up or some ideas, how can they do that?
Yeah, sure. And Donald mentioned the background of the people that we have on our growing team. Mm-hmm. But one thing he didn't mention that I think is important, D2, just being in the line of work that we are, we're extremely committed to thought leadership. Like 2020 is very indicative of our curiosity and our desire to, you know, push the conversation in the industry. So the couple of obvious things I would recommend is, number one, subscribe to our blog. Again, go to d2demandsolutions.com. We blog weekly. We blog about what we view as really interesting stuff. We have a pretty big following behind that. So I strongly recommend you you subscribe to that to find out lots of the latest thought on the areas that Donald talked about. And finally, one final plug, d2demand.com. You will find 20 for 20. There's links all over the website to the white paper, as well as some additional blog content that drills down a bit deeper on some of the topics. But please stop by. Please be generous with your comments, and we look forward to carrying on the conversation.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much. It's been fascinating. It's a great white paper, great topic, and congratulations on really making the effort to try and help guide the industry through this data that you put together through these interviews. We will be back next week at the same time on the same station with another episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.